Welcome to the 28th episode of the Frank Online Marketing Show, brought to you by IBM Canada. Thanks, IBM. My name is Tema Frank, and I'm your host. Many years ago, way back in the 1990s, some nerdy friends told me about something really new and unheard of called Google that was way better than the other search engines that existed at the time. I started playing with this Google thing and was blown away by it. And I guess because of those early days, maybe, I do have a bit of a soft spot for Google. So it is quite a thrill that today I'm able to bring you an interview with Chris Hodgson from Google Canada. Chris leads Google's Canadian retail and tech practices. He's got 20 years of experience building and growing companies in the internet, retail, mobile, and technology industries. And before working for Google, he actually founded two successful online businesses. So he knows what he's talking about, both from a Google perspective and a client perspective. Even though some people are starting to complain about Google favoring postings on its own social network, Google+, over other stuff, and that may be true, I still think that the nice thing about the Google business model is that, by and large, their interests are pretty well aligned with ours. And with ours, I mean both us as consumers and us as potential advertisers. You see, if your advertisement succeeds, you win because you're getting customers and business as a result of that advertisement. The customers win because they've discovered whatever it was they were looking for, and Google wins because they make money. In today's interview, we cover some of the issues confronting small and mid-sized businesses when they try to figure out how to use Google, and particularly Google AdWords campaigns. Chat with you after the interview. Well, why don't we start with sort of your general thoughts on where we are with e-commerce in Canada?
Sure. You know, I've spent the last 12 years in the UK and the last year and a half in Canada. So, you know, Canadians are very digitally advanced. We over-index on watching videos online. Broadband penetration is very good and so forth. But actually, e-commerce is quite behind. There are a lot more opportunities for Canadian companies to engage with digitally advanced Canadian consumers in an online world.
Can you elaborate a bit about that?
Sure. I mean, these days, you know, in the connected economy, really, your website is your biggest marketing channel. Increasingly, people are going, not even going online, increasingly people with mobile phones just are online all the time. Mm-hmm. And they're researching purchases, researching companies, and finding out information before they go and engage with those brands or those companies. And if you have a presence there, you can interact with them, you can have a conversation, you can help them, and you can help answer their questions. Increasingly with SMBs, actually, we find one of the biggest challenges is in Canada, a large number of them still don't even have a presence, to be honest. Either don't have a website, or their website is only used for sort of, here's a phone number, call us. And actually, they could be doing a lot more with answering the vast majority of consumers' questions or their customers' questions on the website and actually free them up from receiving phone calls and just have them walk directly into their stores.
Right. So why do you think so many Canadian companies aren't or haven't jumped on this opportunity?
I think it's a bit of a chicken and egg to some extent. So I think the large Canadian companies in the market haven't done a good job in the past for a number of reasons. They haven't invested in the back-end infrastructure to be able to offer a good e-commerce experience. I think as a result, that filters down to smaller SMBs and so forth. Canada is not unique with the SMBs. It's always a challenge, if you will. There's some complexities, getting stock in the doors, driving sales, figuring out how to manage their overall business. It seems like a hassle. It seems like a lot of extra work. They don't necessarily understand what the impact may be, if any. This is how consumers are engaging with companies and brands these days, and it is how they can actually drive more sales. And not only that, even make their life easier, you know, reduce some of the hassle and answer those customers' questions before they even come in the door.
You talked a little bit about the increasingly mobile consumer, and I'm wondering to what extent should companies be focusing on mobile as opposed to traditional online marketing?
Definitely start with a website and then focus on making sure that that website conveys your brand and conveys what it is that you stand for, and then also responds and gives people on the site the information that you think they need. And you can use metrics, you can monitor what they're looking on the site to understand where the valuable bits are.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really use that data to understand what they're getting out of it. So start with the website. But increasingly, a lot of small businesses, you know, they'll start to build up a small email database. Nowadays, the vast majority of people who are receiving their emails are clicking the links in the email from a mobile phone.
Yeah.
One of the things that I don't think companies do enough is walk in their customer's shoes. You know, receive your own email, click the link, find out what is that experience? How does that site look on a mobile phone? You know, is it easy to read? Is it easy to understand whatever offers are in the email or whatever the action, the call to action you're trying to get them to do?
Mm-hmm.
Quite often it isn't. Quite often it's a somewhat painful process. And I'm not naive enough to say that, you know, you should abandon everything else. I understand small businesses, you have a lot of different priorities, and how do you possibly prioritize this, which is a very complex area, you know, perhaps in technology, which is something you're not as comfortable with. But there are certainly people that can help. It doesn't need to be rocket science either. There are a lot of online tools now which actually make it very easy for small businesses to have a presence and to have a presence which is useful.
We're hearing a lot more about mobile advertising, and I'm curious about how that works. I mean, people, particularly in Canada, a lot of people pay to receive text messages, so obviously they're not going to want advertising blared at them that way. Within a website, I mean, the screen size is pretty small. How do you see mobile advertising evolving, and what are some of the ways that can work?
There are two main ways in which mobile advertising works currently. One is that when someone is actually searching for your products or your brand on a mobile phone, we know and we can tell from the data that that's a very different context than when they're looking on a desktop or sitting at home. Someone who's on the street corner looking up your company is very likely trying to find where you're located, about to walk into your store. And the advertising then is really based around how do you engage with them in that way? How do you give them the information that's relevant on that mobile phone? That's from a search point of view. The context is incredibly important these days. Think of someone looking for pizza, for instance. If you're sitting at a desktop at noon and you're searching for pizza, or in the evening, for instance, you're probably, what you want to be given is actually a phone number so you can order pizza delivered to your house.
Yep.
If it's noon and you're on your mobile phone on the street corner looking for pizza, you probably want directions to the closest pizza place.
Right.
And understanding that context from a mobile point of view when they're searching is very important, and showing up with ads that are really very relevant for them. And increasingly, you mentioned the size of the screen. It's very important because there's smaller screen size to be showing up sort of top position when they're doing those searches, much more so than on desktop. And then in addition, we see a lot of people obviously on tablets and mobile devices using apps and embedded, engaging within apps. And quite often those apps have embedded ads within them. And so to the extent that there may be relevant apps that you can be advertising and reaching your customers while they're doing things like reading the news, for instance.
Is there any publicly available data about the advertising effectiveness on apps? Because I know that certainly on the apps I use, the ads I've seen really weren't at all relevant. I mean, I'm getting game apps when I'm trying to do time management. You know, the last thing I need is to waste more time. Is there anything that can help people understand whether that actually can be made effective?
It's still a nascent industry, right? And the advantages of that are that the people that sort of jump into it and test stuff are going to be on the leading edge. They're going to disproportionately benefit from that because they'll be ahead of the competition.
Fair enough. But
that said, you'll still have problems where perhaps people aren't fully understanding it, they're mistargeting. There's a fair bit of knowledge and insight that comes from it, and the internet in general is it's a perfect platform for testing and learning and iterating and doing again.
Yes.
The commercial structure, for the most part online, is actually you only pay when people engage with those ads. So in many ways, what they would monitor is they'd say, well, you know, that company that's mistargeting you over time will be able to look at the data and say, look, this customer is not actually engaging. We're not paying for it, but they're not engaging, so let's try something else. And it's a test and learn mentality about the internet, which really makes it very valuable to companies that can respond that way and can actually, you know, just trial stuff. It's far easier than people think.
That's one of the joys, I guess, of doing something that's paying per click rather than per impression, is that it gives them the chance to experiment without it costing them particularly.
Exactly. You've only paid when it has resonated with someone for some reason. It's not like putting an ad in the newspaper where you pay X amount up front and hope that you hit the right person.
You gave the example of how what somebody would be looking for, say looking for a pizzeria at noon versus from home in the evening. Is there a way that an ad campaign can be tailored to appear on certain devices only at certain times?
We've just launched an update to our AdWords platform, which allows you to do just that and to target by the context that the customer is in, more location specific and across devices and so forth.
Okay.
The growth of mobile has been enormous, and increasingly it is important for companies to understand. I always laugh because we refer to the consumer as sort of this foreign animal that we all study and we try to understand more about. We're all just there ourselves, and we can see our own habits on phones, using them more, you know, waking up and checking emails and so forth. So, you know, I always urge my clients to spend more time just walking, you know, knowing that, walk in your customer's shoes with your own brand and your own company.
So what are some of the most common mistakes that you see companies make?
They really try to sell excessively. And in search, for instance, you can bid based upon what someone is looking for. And if they're looking for a help phone number, don't try to sell them your products with an ad that says, you know, here are my products. They're looking for your brand and a phone number. Give them your phone number.
Yeah.
And people don't often do that. They set up a campaign. This is what our value proposition is. This is the one line that communicates it all. Bang, and we'll cover whatever we can. And I think the society today, with Generation C and with increasingly with people who are becoming more connected, their expectations are changing, are growing enormously. So you need to respond quickly. You need to be there. But you also need to answer their questions. In many ways, online, they're looking for knowledge, and they're looking for information. That may very well be your product and what its price is and is it available. But it also may be, you know, consumer reviews or other people and what they thought of the product, or your help number if they're existing customers and so forth. And a mistake a lot of companies make is not understanding those differences and communicating with those customers relevant to what they're actually trying to find.
Well, and it sounds from what you're saying like another mistake then is having all your ads direct to your homepage, let's say, instead of directing to a relevant targeted page based on what they were searching.
Exactly. It makes a huge difference within our systems, but also just the customer experience, being able to drive directly to a part of your site which has the relevant product and again, that they're looking for is going to be far more effective than clicking through to your homepage where they then have to search for your product again after they've just searched for it. They're going to have to figure out how to navigate through your site and so forth.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that is very commonly a challenge for small organizations is understanding how to, first of all, set up the campaigns and link them with Google Analytics, and then to do the online marketing. Is it realistic for companies with a very small marketing staff to actually try and do their own search marketing and run their own ad campaigns?
Oh, for sure. We've built out our systems so that they're as easy as possible to be able to set up an initial account. Now, there are levels of complexities beyond that where you can start to do some of the stuff we've talked about contextual targeting on mobile and at certain locations and so forth. But a very basic campaign takes hardly any time at all to set up and to activate. We also offer free setup and phone support as well for AdWords customers.
I was going to ask about that. How big a customer do they have to be to get that kind of help?
No, any size is fine.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I think a lot of companies probably don't realize that. If a company's going to get assistance from a search firm, do you have any suggestions for how they can go about figuring out who's good and who's not? Because there's so many people out there who claim that they're search experts.
Search is very different than traditional marketing, but it's not rocket science. And as a small business owner, I found it very useful to bring in a lot of search companies that could review my site, that could help me understand where there were gaps and what I needed to do. In the end, it's not that complicated. You'll talk to five or six or even a few, and you'll find out very quickly that there's just some basic hygiene stuff to do with the site and the links and the URLs and so forth. But once that hygiene stuff is sort of out of the way to think of search is that there are two bits of it. You know, clear out the hygiene stuff, and that will allow our search robots to sort of crawl your site and properly index it and properly categorize it. And then it's the way to view it is a marathon, right? So it's a long-term game. where you continue to work on the content and making sure the content on your site is as relevant for your customers and mm-hmm. what they're searching for. And the better that you create content that's relevant for the words they're searching, the better you'll start showing up in natural listings.
Mm-hmm.
And then the short-term way, because that's a long-term game and you may not show up initially, it takes a while.
Yep.
The short-term opportunity is through the paid advertising. And paid advertising allows you to fill in that gap and say, okay, for this category, we've got a special offer on some fantastic products, or we really think that this is an area where we excel versus the competition. We should just be there now, even though we're not showing up in the natural listing. Let's create some paid ads. And the people that click through, those are going to be valuable customers because we have a valuable proposition for them. So we're going to be able to convert them into customers very easily.
Well, and I've heard that from people that the short-term aspect is great, and also that, in fact, that can give them information to help them fine-tune for the natural listings because they see what resonates with people and what doesn't in a very direct way.
Exactly. I mean, and that comes back to the test and learn. The ability to get the data from the volumes of searches, what people are searching for and what categories, and understanding, you know, when they do click and when they don't click and which ads resonate and which copy and which messages in your specific area, all of that mm-hmm. is incredibly valuable data. And a number of our clients, the more advanced clients, would leverage that and feed it into their broader marketing campaigns. So they may say, you know, I thought it was this particular aspect or attribute of my product or my company which was relevant, but actually what people are resonating with and engaging with happens to be something else. And so I should mm-hmm. shift, you know, other parts of my marketing and my customer communication to speak to that.
Yeah. When people are trying to assess the effectiveness of their campaigns, I mean, obviously conversions into sales is the key metric, but are there any other particularly important, useful metrics or analytics that they should be looking at to help them know if they're headed the right direction or not?
The critical thing about looking at campaigns is to saying, what's the lifetime value of my customer? How much is it worth to bring someone in? And it's not often just that one purchase. It may be, here's a new customer I've acquired, and I've acquired their email address, or I've acquired this other information which I can then leverage. So what's the value of getting their email address? What's the value of getting them as a new customer? Because I know they'll come back every 4 months or 6 months or whatever your business is.
Mm-hmm.
Better understanding exactly that full lifetime value of that customer will really allow you to compete better in the auction for that customer. In terms of metrics, just as a small business as well, is also the metrics on your site, as I mentioned before. If you're finding a whole bunch of people coming to your site and bouncing directly off, there's got to be things about your site which are not working. And try to test and learn, you know, have two versions of it and see which converts better. And that's the thing, it applies across everything. So if you're sending out emails to your customers, you know, send two versions always. Never just send one email. Always two. Figure out which one performed better. Use that one next time plus another one. And always try to improve those metrics.
Well, and what's nice is that with Google Analytics and with most of the email providers, that's fairly easy to do. I mean, most of them have tools built in to make that possible.
The metric you'd use internally is just, you know, what's the overall profit? Quite often people focus too much on how much did I pay for that click or how much did I pay to acquire that customer? And actually what we find is that if you focus on profit, you may find your assumptions are wrong. So quite often we've worked with companies in the past where they said, we're willing to pay $10 to acquire a customer. And we would say, great, but let's assume you don't know that, and let's look at profit and figure out what that is. And we start by paying a dollar and find out how much profit you earn, and then start ramping it up past $10. And they may actually find that they're earning more profit by paying $15 a customer because what happens is they get better positioning in the auction, it drives more traffic to their site, and it converts better on their site. So ultimately, the most important thing is actually not the cost for that click or the acquisition of that customer. It's what's your overall profit and how is it impacting your profit as a business. The Canadian small businesses can actually compete very effectively with large businesses right now.
Really?
Large businesses are slow-moving, are bureaucratic, and aren't always taking advantage of what's going on in the marketplace as well as they should. And that's the value of the auction, I suppose. You know, the auction is set up in a way that allows everyone to compete, and the success will be based upon how well you're responding to that customer's, you know, interests or what they're trying to find out. And it makes it just as easy for a small bike shop with one one store to compete with a Canadian Tire. In many cases, you know, they'd be better because a small bike shop can target their ads just around their store in a very effective and targeted way. And Canadian Tire, as a large organization, as an example, you know, may just be doing stuff across the country. It may not be looking down at a niche level and really understanding the lifetime value of their customers much.
I think there are a few things that came out of today's interview that are worth really paying attention to. One of them, and a pretty obvious one, I guess, is the importance of mobile advertising and mobile marketing in general these days. It's especially important if you run any kind of a local business. People increasingly are searching for businesses while they're on the go using their phones. So it's really important that you figure out how to be found by them when they're doing that. As Chris pointed out, most email links now are actually clicked from mobile phones, so be careful and make sure that you test both your website and your email marketing in mobile phones as well as on larger screens. In fact, one of the things that he stressed that I think is really, really crucial is that the great joy of the internet generally is that you can keep testing your marketing offers, and you really should always be testing. I don't know about you, but I had always assumed that to get Google's assistance to help you set up some ad campaigns, you'd probably have to be a potentially fairly large advertiser. So it was really nice to hear that Google does actually offer free setup assistance regardless of your company size. So that's something you might want to take advantage of. And also something that is really important, and it's amazing how often companies get this wrong, is to always match an advertisement to the most relevant page on your website given the terms that they search that brought up your ad. So if somebody is searching for a red dress, don't just bring them to your homepage because red dresses are one of the things you sell. Bring them specifically to a page showing them red dresses. If you don't do that, you're really wasting your advertising money. I think that's all for this week's episode. I do hope that you'll give me feedback and or comment in iTunes. Let them know that you're enjoying this show and please pass it along to people you know. The more people hear about it, the better. We're starting work on the Canadian e-commerce challenge, and actually Chris Hodgson, who I interviewed today from Google, has agreed to serve on the advisory board for the challenge, so that's pretty exciting. If you'd like to find out more about the challenge and make sure that you're constantly up to date on what's happening and when it's actually launching, please go to our website, frankonlinemarketing.com, and sign up for the newsletter. I promise I will never send you a newsletter more than once a week. Usually I'm aiming really for every 2 weeks, so you won't get bombarded, but I do plan to keep people up to date on what's happening with the challenge in that newsletter. That's all for today. I do hope you'll send me some feedback, and I will chat with you next week. Bye.